What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds.
There we go. Do you like that theme song, by the way?
There we go. I don't know. It just makes me question what's for dinner. What are you cooking?
That's what's for dinner is you cooking.
What are you cooking?
What am I? I'm cooking right now nothing. I just had a pretzel.
Oh, I just had an apple.
Well, then neither one of us are cooking.
That's my big lunch.
That's what you're eating now for lunch?
Yeah, I just sometimes eat some fruit. Maybe have something later. We'll see.
That's good. So are you trying to lose weight or anything?
No.
Just like snacking during the day?
Yeah, I don't like to eat. I'm not that hungry when I wake up, just to be honest.
Really?
Just to let you know.
Well, that's interesting. I am very used to when I get up, within a half hour, I'm eating breakfast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you make for breakfast? What's for breakfast?
Touche.
Bacon and eggs.
Now, today was cereal, toast, and coffee and juice.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It was a little bit of cereal and toast had peanut butter on it.
Oh, I ate some peanut butter last night, like at 2 in the morning.
That's by the way, this has to be the most interesting beginning to any show I've done.
We're actually talking about what we ate.
That's where the show's at.
Did I say I ate peanut butter? Sorry, I rubbed it on my nipples.
And then who ate it off of it?
Nobody. I just sat there, hoping.
That would be great if just in the middle of rubbing peanut butter on yourself, somebody breaks in.
Hey, what are you doing?
I've been looking for peanut butter to eat.
You mind if I lick it off your nipples?
Not at all.
It'd be great if he came in with like a bar of chocolate, and then you ate the chocolate, he ate the peanut butter, and you had like a Reese's...
A Reese's smash. A smash of Reese's on my nipples?
That's right.
Chocolatey fun goodness.
All over the nips.
Wouldn't it be great if like women's milk out of their breasts had different flavors? It's like, well, we got strawberry milk this week for the kids.
That would be good, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we could go, hey, quick.
You want some of that? Hold on. Here's chocolate on my right.
Thank you. And then could we swirl it? Could we make, like, strawberry chocolate?
That's complicated. Listen, man, if we're going into hypotheticals here, let's just go one nipple shoots one flavor.
Okay, so we don't want to overstep our nips.
No, I don't want to step our creativity here.
I got you. Well, that's why you're the brains, man.
I'm the beauty. You're the brains.
Oh, wait,
I'm not the beauty.
No, I am the beauty of the two of us.
I hope so.
I would imagine so.
Wait a second. Have you seen? I've never seen a mirror I didn't like. Did I say mirror? I meant mirror.
Adam Richmond is here, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Hey, all the listeners. What's up?
Hello, all of you.
Hello, all of you.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay.
Good. Do you have a good holiday? Do you celebrate Thanksgiving because you're Canadian?
Yeah, but I live here, so I just go wherever there's turkey.
So that's when you first, when did you first come here?
Well, I've been here for 12 years.
Okay, so you moved to LA about the same time I did.
Yeah, 2001. Like, right after September 11th, or right around September 11th.
Wait a minute.
Conspiracy theory here.
Maybe it wasn't Al-Qaeda all the time.
It was a Canadian Jew.
All right,
he drove himself into the towers.
It distracted America from me slipping in unannounced.
Watch out, world. Canadian Jews are coming to get you.
Newsflash, 2001. Sure, the towers fell, but no one knew that a Canadian Jew came into the United States, sneaking around using the two towers as a cover.
Canadian Jew making a menorah out of maple syrup.
Why don't they should bring that voice back for newscasting. It's gotten so boring.
Hear ye.
Not just, like do that voice, but with a modern story. Like a modern news story.
The other day, I went on the internet and browsed some porn.
I don't mean your personal story. I mean something that happened in the news.
I didn't do that either.
Sure you didn't.
Yesterday, Lady Gaga was arrested for tweaking in the streets.
Yeah.
See?
Tweaking or twerking?
Oh, twerking. Shit. Tweaking. No, she was tweaking. She was just off. She was tweaking out while twerking. That joke didn't twerk.
Really?
Thank you. I never twerk. I'm twerking tonight. Where's your job? Where do you twerk?
I twerk over at the television show Twerkaholics.
I like these just names that come up, like selfie, and then it's put in the dictionary now. Like, so it's so stupid. It's a slang. And then again, there are other words.
But there's been so many slang words that have become like actual words. Like the fucking dough. Homer Simpson dough is in the dictionary now.
Really?
Yeah.
How do we decide that that becomes a word?
I guess Webster's decided it.
Who is Webster? The little Manuel Lewis
Manuel Lewis character is who decides all of the words.
Wouldn't that be funny if that's what it is? Just a little short black guy?
That's who Webster is? Like,
he's the actual dictionary guy?
That would make sense.
Webster's Dictionary.
Written by a small black man.
Name Gary Coleman.
From beyond the grave.
Is he dead too?
Yeah, Gary Coleman's dead. Emmanuel Lewis is still alive.
Gary Coleman died? When did he die? It was recently. Last couple of years?
Yeah. He fell off a very short ladder and had a brain hemorrhage.
Is that true?
Yeah. He had a different stroke.
Life is short. Oh, shit. You set me up for that one.
I might have. That's what was for dinner is a really good joke.
What's for dinner? What's for dinner?
Now, I was actually watching a funny you said that. I was watching a biography special on Different Strokes the other night.
That is funny.
Yeah, and they were, they're just, like, did you have that show in Canada growing up?
Of course.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you watch it, like, religiously?
Yeah.
Me too. Like, I
remember the show when Dudley was molested?
By the bike man.
Yeah.
By the bicycle store owner, yeah. Do you remember the one where Arnold and Kimberly were kidnapped?
Yes.
By that older guy who gave him a ride and he tried to, like, fuck Kimberly? But Gary Coleman escaped. But I remember it was a two-part episode.
They were doing, like, serious episodes. Were sort of scary.
Well, it was Norman Lear who created it, and he, like, always tried to push kind of social boundaries and things like that. I mean, he created All in the Family and the Jeffersons. So Norman Lear was always about that. But, yeah, there were some serious... But I remember that episode when it was a two-parter, and the first part ended with the guy putting, like, tape over Arnold's mouth with him tied to a bed. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, Arnold's going to die. I was a little early in my premonition, but...
Heavy stuff for a kid. Heavy stuff. Do they do that in sitcoms nowadays?
All the time. Actually, are you kidding? The things that were so taboo then that you couldn't believe they're talking about are so tame by today's standards. I mean, if you really think about it, some of the sitcoms are... Not that there's anything wrong with it, but there's gay families. Can you imagine having like a gay family sitcom in the early 80s?
What's the gay family sitcom now?
Modern Family.
Oh, yeah, but I guess they're just characters, but they're not. It's not all about them. It's supposed to be about a modern
family. No, but I mean having a gay couple like as a prominent character on a network show.
Wasn't that what The Odd Couple was about? Come on, The Odd Couple, because they're odd.
They are, but we never heard like a, you know, like, Felix, I believe you left your shirt on my floor this morning after I was done pounding you in the ass last night.
Do they say that in that
dun,
show?
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, da.
I don't know if they say that in Modern Family. Remember last night when I pounded you? You liked it.
Was it newscaster in Modern
Family? You loved it.
Last night I pounded you up the ass. You loved it.
You loved it. You were screaming more, baby, more. Thank you, thank you. I'm high all week.
Oh my God, I had a Muttley laugh. I had that.
That's good. I'm killing over here. I'm killing. Why do you have stockings? You're Jewish.
You know what? We have a tree, too. You see that?
You do have a tree.
Yeah. We just set up our Christmas tree last night.
Your place is comfortable, though. It's got a lot of like comfy chairs.
Well, the living room / studio, we like to think of it as the studio home away from your home.
You've got a banana tree, and that's not a gay reference.
No, you know what? Allison was brought up. She's Jewish, but she was brought up having both. So I was always just, you know, Jewish menorah. But when I moved in, she wanted to set up a tree, and I'm like, I didn't see any reason not to. There's obviously no pictures of Jesus. This is just more about a festive thing.
No, but there's a bunch of Christmas decor.
There is. There's some stockings. There's a...
Feliz Navidad. Look, she puts it out a little...
There's a Dr. Seuss-looking flamingo up there.
Yeah, there's some stuff.
But see, if you look up, too, there's a blue and white Hanukkah streamers right above you.
Right.
And a dreidel right over there next to you.
And a menorah.
And a menorah. See, we
handle... It's modern time. Let's call it a womanorah.
A womanorah.
Not a menorah, a womanorah.
Do you do that when you do the temple gigs?
No.
Do you ever do temple gigs?
Not really, do you?
I've done.
It's been a while. I think I have done a couple.
How long ago?
A few years ago, randomly. I don't even remember. I don't know if my act's conducive for the Jews.
I was going to say, do you find it hard being like having to do? Do you do like corporate shows, or any have to do like clean college shows?
I haven't done many clean shows lately, but I can be clean. I had to do audience warm up
for what?
It was clean. I did it for the Best Damn Sports Show.
Did you really?
Yeah, I took over what, Brody Stevens.
Brody
gave me a couple. He couldn't do it, so I did it for him a couple times. Then I got another job doing TV Guide Channel, a couple game shows.
Really?
Yeah. I'd like to do more of those, but they don't really have a lot of live studio audiences these days.
What? No, I did warm up once. What did you have to do for that? Like, how long was your day doing warm up?
It wasn't that long.
Really?
Yeah, it was just a few hours, I think, 4 or 5 hours.
It's not bad.
Yeah, and then you just had to be funny and then shut up when they told you to shut up. Sometimes I was talking too much, like, hey, you're supposed to shut up.
You were talking too much?
Yeah, I know that happens sometimes. No. Sometimes it happens.
So, wait, did you do material or did you do crowd work?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, that's what I got so desperate when I was doing something for the Lifetime channel, like years ago when I first moved here. Mm-hmm. And I'd never done warm-up. I think I did 3 days of it. I tried doing comedy the first day, and it wasn't working. And I was doing some crowd work. And then the next day, I just fucking bought a bag of candy, and I was giving that out. That's how I was doing it.
That's your audience warm-up. I know a guy that does the audience warm-up for Tonight Show, Don Reed, very funny man.
Oh, I know Don Reed.
Yeah, he's great. He does the audience warm-up there. So I guess he doesn't really have to do that much either. He does some jokes, and then he just has, you know, kind of keeps them busy and kinda, almost as a cheerleader, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think you have to do for those big shows. It's just because did you ever go to a Tonight Show taping?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know what they do. They do, like, sometimes dance contests and things like that. Just like you said, keep the audience busy, keep their blood pumping.
Keep dancing, kids. Keep fake laughing. We have the applause. I wish we had an applause button above our show.
I wish I had one above my life.
Yeah. Applause. That was good.
Very good.
That
Very.
Was good already.
And we could have like an aww button.
Aww. Shucks.
What's another? Oh, how about the... Ooh.
Like oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like a gasp. And then like a laugh and applause.
That's good. That is good. That is very funny.
And then a cough, just a random. Then you would hear it on a sitcom.
Is this thing on? Yes, he is.
Oh, you're looking at our comedy poster.
Something on fire besides this guy.
This guy. I know so far the show has just been like you pointing out my apartment.
That's it. Well, what else is there?
So what are you doing for, what did you do for the holidays, my friend? I spent time with my family in Florida. Had a great time. Actually did a couple podcasts with my brother and with my father.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I just cried myself a river and paddled a canoe down it.
Is that a Patsy Cline song?
It should be.
Or is that a Mos Def song?
I cried me to a river and paddled a canoe down it. That's what I did. That's what I do. Yeah.
Your Patsy Cline needs work.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. Because here we are back where we were before. All right. I hope to get one Twitter follower out of doing your podcast.
You're going to lose Twitter followers by osmosis.
I lose Twitter followers, too, sometimes. I don't know how to get people with like 20,000 Twitter followers.
I have
no idea.
I try not to care. I hit 1,000. That was my goal. I wanted to at least have 1,000, and yeah. I do, and thank you to all my followers. But I was talking to Darren Carter last night. He was showing me all these Vine videos and how they have like 1.9 million followers on Vine and just 6-minute videos. And I'm like, when the fuck did it get so complicated?
Yeah.
You know, like I think you and I got in the business like right at that tail end when it was still just about being funny.
Yeah.
When it was still just about putting yourself on stage. That's how you prove yourself. That's how you promote yourself. You know, maybe you send out postcards or something. But that's where...
Yeah, you had to be good at comedy.
Yeah.
In order to get work.
Yeah.
You just have to have like Twitter followers or a Facebook fan page with a...
And then, it just... Within the last, probably about 10, 12 years, the internet really became part of the promotional machine.
Yeah.
It really, you know, now you have to, it was MySpace that was really, I think, the first to exploit social media with promotion, and then YouTube, and then Facebook, and then just everything else that has exploded since then. And I think I don't know, like, some guys transition really well to it. I'm okay with it, you know? I maintain a decent internet presence, but some people, like, especially, and I'm sounding like an old man, but the kids today, they really know how to manipulate it and get these followers and get this attention from it. And it feels like the talent aspect is kind of being looked at, like, fourth on the list. It's, you know, how many followers do you have? How many videos do you have? How many views do those videos have? And
yeah.
And then, oh, and by the way, are you funny? Like, shouldn't that be number one?
Yeah, but that's really that's the world we live in, you know? People are falling off things, get hit in the nuts, and, you know, twerking and all that stuff. That's what it's, I don't know, it's interesting because it's not at all what I thought stand-up was.
It isn't. This isn't what stand-up is.
You have to be good at that first. Now it's, but if you were popular before, like, you know, like Seinfeld was probably popular before. He probably has a bunch of Twitter. I don't even know if he's on Twitter. I'm sure he is.
I don't know. We could check if you want.
But as soon as he's on there, he's like, oh, it's Seinfeld, who already has millions of fans as it is.
Oh yeah, well, if you're already a name and you go on to one of these things, it's like if you're Seinfeld and you go to the Improv and you just go on stage unannounced, you know. You have that initial first 10 minutes of people with undivided attention. After that, you better. It's like what they were saying in Comedian. After that, you better be funny. So it's the same thing with social media. If Seinfeld gets on Twitter, he'll automatically have.
Now people become famous on other people's podcasts, of famous people. You know, Joe Rogan, who's great. I love Joe. He does his podcast or something, and people that he's put on have become popular because of the podcast. It's like, well, I'm not friends with Joe Rogan. You know, I wish I was. I know him. I think I've asked him to be on his podcast. He's like, who the fuck is Adam Richman?
Does everybody except you talk like a newsman? Who the fuck is this Adam Richman? I'm Joe Rogan, goddammit.
Who the fuck is that?
Well, how many Twitter followers do you have?
I have 1,000, a little bit over 1,000, almost 1,100.
All right.
That's about it. But I did the Facebook thing, too. You had to do that first, so I got two, like, I have two profiles.
Me too.
One with 5,000, one with, like, 1,500, you know? Yeah. I've got an email list of, like, 3,000, 4,000 people, you know, and then all of a sudden you know, doesn't matter. Yeah, now you have to do Twitter. Now you got to do Instagram and all that stuff.
Yeah, I got that too. I mean, it's a job now. It's like beyond just writing and being funny. You have to, like, I've maintained three Facebook pages, my Twitter, my Instagram. I do this podcast, and I'm trying to book my work. And it's like running a mini little company.
Yeah.
You know? But what else are we going to do, man? Are we going to sit around and just wait for shit to happen?
You know what? I sometimes question that. Sometimes you're supposed to do that. Sometimes you're supposed to be hustling, and other times you're supposed to kind of take a break from it.
Do you find, like...
I'm burnt out a little bit from, like, the road.
I am, and then I'm not. I'm like in my head, I really am, like, this kind of hodgepodge. Because at one point, I was on the road almost continuously for 3 months, working most of the time the last 3 weeks, just relaxing with my family. But I loved it. I loved doing it on the road. I loved doing the clubs. But I got burnt out from all the traveling and everything. But then when I wasn't doing anything, I was freaking out, like, I'm losing the ball. I'm not maintaining this momentum that I once had. Like, you remember when we met? When I did your gig back on Melrose, that old, what was the name of that gig that you used to do?
I remember it was, what was it called?
Was that Upstairs?
It was Upstairs.
Yeah.
It was my first kind of year or two.
Yeah.
And I put together a show. That's why I met a bunch of comedians that way.
And you remember, like how, I don't know, like when I first came out here, I was like just going out finding stage time, just wherever I could. Jumping up on stage, wanted to be seen, wanted to work out. And then over the last year or two, I felt myself just, I don't know, slowing down. Have you, where's that static coming from? Hold on. Have you kind of felt yourself doing that a little bit?
Like slowing down and going on the road?
Slowing down just with, motivation.
Yeah, I guess because we've been beaten on by this, like, internet thing, you know? It's like, it's so hard to get into gigs and stuff, you know? I find it's like there's new rooms, like, you hit them up, or people you've worked with, and then, like, you try to get back into them, and then you don't have enough, like, Twitter followers or something, and so they're not bringing you back in.
It really is. It's like I remember when I was starting out, and I'd see these like comics who've been doing it for a while, and they just kind of had this beaten up look about them, and they were like, "No, you know," and they had this just bitterness about them. And I remember thinking, "I'm never going to be that." And then I kind of find myself becoming that now.
Yeah,
it's fucking weird and scary, and it's not who I want to be. But at the same time, it's like I don't know how to motivate myself beyond this because I'm getting beaten down constantly by the clubs and the bookers saying, like you said, you don't have the followers. We need people who draw, you know, even though I have credits, you know, but you're not on TV now.
I said Carson Daly, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Came out great.
Congratulations.
I got it online, but I don't know if it's done anything for me, really. You know, I don't know what it's supposed to do for you. And then some people tell you to wait, you know, just let it marinate with people, and then something will happen. I might have gotten a gig or two out of it, but I don't know. I'm not really booked that much for January.
Me neither.
Yeah. So I kind of needed a break. So I feel like that's what it's supposed to be. Now we're depressing everybody out
I know.
There. Now we're crying a river.
You know, if Allison were here, she'd be like, stop it. And she's right. She's right. We can't. You know what I realized? Like, we're about the same age, right?
Yeah. I think we are the same age.
I'm going to give you a number.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We can't tell them out there. Can't tell them that we're 25.
25 and a half.
I don't like the people in their 20s. They're retarded.
That's what they said about us.
Except anyone listening out there. You are great.
Like, are you? Like, we could say without being specific, we're approaching middle age. Right?
Isn't middle age 50?
Is it?
Isn't like 100 supposed to be?
Is that the new expectant?
I don't know.
I'm not saying like tomorrow.
I'm excited for my 40s. I think good things will happen. I think you've seen a lot of comics. Look, we've got other guys like just started get really getting their, you know, their just desserts. Like Mark Maron is 52, I think.
Is he really?
I think he's that old, and he's been great, and he's been doing it for a long time. Now he's finally getting a lot of things, you know.
Yeah, you want to talk about somebody who was depressed?
Yeah.
So,
Bill Burr, Louis C.K., guys like that, they're in their 40s, doing well now. You know,
that's true.
I guess they've been at it for a while too. You know.
Now I remember actually I met Bill in Miami right like years ago, right before his first HBO special came out, and he was. I'm very excited. I got my HBO special. It's gonna be great. That's my Bill Burr. I'm sorry. Here's my Bill Burr. I got my great HBO special. It's gonna be great. Fantastic. Very excited about it.
I'm excited too. Say that. You've got moxie.
Whatever you got, you take a nickel, turn it to a quarter.
Sometimes I see a nickel, think it's a quarter. Never see a quarter, think it's a nickel. Why? Because I think big.
Oh, that's a good button to have. No, you know what? That's actually right. That's a good way to look at it, is that we're hitting the, we're getting closer to 40. And here's the thing. It's never over.
No.
Like, it's never over. But, like, I don't know about you, but I'm finding myself, like, hitting this age and, like, for once, truly taking a look at my early life and being completely removed from it, you know? Like, I look back at my past. And, like, I'm talking, like, early childhood to mid to late 20s. And I see it objectively now, you know, without any real emotional attachment. Like, I see the mistakes that I made. I see the successes that I've had. And I'm able to kind of see, one, who I was in my past, if that makes sense. And I realize, one, I was kind of a geek.
Mm-hmm.
But, two, like, it's weird. Like, all of these, I don't know, mysteries that seemed to happen when I was that I couldn't figure out when I was younger, I'm figuring out now. Do you find yourself in this kind of weird?
I just find that like people don't like. I mean, I've always been confident and I've liked myself, and I try to share that energy on stage and, you know, put that out there. And I find like nowadays it's like it's kind of frowned on. Like you're not supposed to feel good about yourself. You're supposed to feel miserable. And you know, I think everyone's got empathy. We can empathize with people. There's a lot of people that have, you know, issues out there. But, like, I don't think it's – what's wrong with feeling good about yourself? We sort of got to a point where you're sort of not allowed to feel good about yourself, especially in comedy. Like, there's so many nerds. It's a, it used to be a cool – I thought it was a cool art. When I first started, it was cool. There was cool people on stage. It was cool to be just a performer and make people laugh. And now it's this emotional comedy has changed it, I find.
Well, I think there could be a balance between the two. Like, number one – maybe the, like, alternative you know, woe is me, I'm so poor, I'm a geek, blah, 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 is what's in, but it's not everybody. That doesn't appeal to everybody. People still want to go to a club and feel good. Perfect example. Have you been watching Brody Stevens' show on Comedy Central?
No.
It's interesting.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah, it's called Brody Stevens Enjoy It. I actually watched it when it was a web series. And it's very interesting. It's more dramatic, and it's just taking a look at Brody's life and how, I'm not sure if you know, he had that breakdown and everything.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's, well, you should watch the show. It's very interesting. But they show Brody on stage, and I think Brody's hilarious, but he's also very, he makes for awkward tension. Like, he opens up really a lot about what's going on in his life and everything. And in a lot of these shots, you see the audience just kind of like, you know, and he's like, I know you don't like it. I'm just being honest. And it just still shows that even with that kind of comedy, which you were talking about, like the emotional heavy comedy, the I'm not feeling good about myself, still doesn't appeal to everybody. People go to a club. They want to laugh. Yeah. They want to escape. You know, you could talk about whatever issues you're having, but turn it on its ear to make to show the light side of it, as opposed to making it therapy, you know, just basic therapy. You make it therapy through comedy. So I still think there's an audience.
You're supposed to make
that.
People feel good. You're supposed to make them laugh. You don't have to be so,
yeah.
You know, I don't understand the side. I mean, I think you can evolve, right? Stuff that's like deeper, but it's still
but
supposed
still
to make
has
people
to be
laugh.
Funny. Exactly. Yeah. There's a certain sense of escapism when you go to a comedy club.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people, man, I'm having a shit day. I just want to forget about my shit day and laugh. And you don't want to go to a place and hear about somebody else's shit day without laughing.
Right.
You know, like for us, it's therapeutic talking about our shit and getting that, for lack of a better term, ego feedback through the laughter. And it's therapeutic for the audience because, again, they get the escape factor.
Yeah. And I mean, but I guess I wonder if, you know, like, does life supposed to humble you? I feel like I had something happen to me and I feel like life just humbled me. You know, it's like I was feeling too good about myself. Like that was going, I was too happy. So it's like, nah, let's stop that, you know? And I was really wondering that because I thought before, what was wrong with feeling happy? You know, there's something. It was a bad thing to feel good about yourself. So the fates are just like, let's change that for this guy. You know, and that to me is, I'm still trying to figure that out. If there was a reason.
See, I always think that you got to have good with the bad. It's the yin yang philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, like
well, I've had a lot of good. You know, I've had a lot, so I feel like. It's supposed to be, and all of a sudden, you know, you're supposed to teach someone a lesson.
Everything is a lesson.
Yeah.
Everything is definitely a lesson.
Well, you believe that things happen for a reason, or life's just a clusterfuck of randomness?
I believe things happen for a reason. I believe that things, like, again, if Allison was here, and if those of you who listen to the show pretty regularly know that Allison is a very positive person, somebody's calling me, and that she and I both kind of believe that we are what we put out there. You know, like we envisioning like the secret, quote unquote, but whatever. But I also believe that even if you put out all the good and all the happiness, bad things, quote unquote, will still happen because there needs to be a balance. Mm-hmm. And I think it's how we deal with the bad things. It's how we deal with the lessons that life teaches us. You know, do we cower and go, why me? Or do we face it with a positive attitude? You know, and like, I've had shit, I mean, I don't know what's going on with you, but I've had shit happen in my life where if something bad happened to me, it would definitely affect me to a point to where I was losing control of how I was handling it, you know? And then you just have to kind of slap yourself in the face and go, okay, this is happening. I can't do anything about it at this point, so let me just accept it, deal with it, and know that everything will work out in the end. Like, I'm feeling that way a little bit about my gigs. Like, I don't have a lot of gigs, but I also know that this has happened before, and I just have to work at it and know that gigs will come, and I'll be fine.
Right. Yeah, it's easier said than done sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know? But you got to believe that you got to stay positive for sure, man. You got to feel that, yeah, life is it's going to get has your back. I always hope that that's the case. You know, because I've had bad things happen to me before, and it led to good things, you know?
It's true.
So I just hope that if whatever I'm going through now will lead to better things, too, in the future, you know?
I'm sure it
will. Because I'm a good person. I put out a lot of good.
You are a good person,
you know, put a lot of good. But sometimes bad things happen to good people, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I've learned.
Well, when I say you're a good person, I mean you have good quality.
Go give to the homeless.
Have you given to the homeless? You ever done anything like that, charity work, volunteer work?
I actually did something a few weeks ago where I helped load up food for some underprivileged Jewish families.
And oh, that's great.
We boxed some food and stuff, did that for an hour or two. And I don't know, I just do random things. I think I could do more. I'm thinking about trying to do more.
Do you want to go volunteer with kids? I was thinking about doing that too.
Being like a big brother?
Not that far, but just going and playing.
How about a big sister? I want to be a big sister.
Big black lady?
I want to be a big black lady.
Come here, baby. This is Laquanda Richmond.
I like black ladies. They laugh like they're stabbing each other. Ah! 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 It's like a violent experience. Like, oh, what happened to Lakeithia? Oh, we went to a comedy club. She's in critical condition.
This is what I love about Adam Richmond. We're having this like nice kind of philosophical, personal conversation about life and everything, and I just say black woman, and it triggers the bit. And it's like it's almost like comedy Tourette's. You hear the setup, and you just... I do it, too. Don't get me wrong. I do it, too.
I just thought we were too depressing for a little while. People are just like, we're turning this off. But maybe that's actually what people listen to. Maybe they want to hear that stuff, too.
You know what I found for the people that listen to not just my show, but when I listen to podcasts? Yeah, it's fun when we can be funny, because we're comics, and it'll come naturally. But I think people... I honestly believe this. Podcasting is a sense of voyeurism. People want to hear what it's like to be... want to hear about somebody else's life. That's why reality TV is so fucking popular, because we're looking in on somebody else's life.
Right.
You know, podcasting is the same thing. We're hearing about somebody else's life. Sometimes it's somebody famous and like, ooh, this is what Joe Rogan thinks, or Seinfeld, or blah, blah, blah. And in our case, oh, this is what two comedians are talking about. Even if the microphones weren't there, they'd probably be talking about this. You
right.
Know? So I don't think that... And listeners, email me and let me know if I'm wrong, but I don't think that it has to always be firing in all cylinders, being funny 100% of the time. I think sometimes getting a little real is more entertaining.
Yeah, guys, email me at adamrichmondcomedy.com.
There you go.
And tell me. If I got one person emailing me, I'll be very happy. We listen to you on Flip Schultz's podcast, and we have questions.
Why? There is somebody, I know there's a listener, a very loyal listener, who I thank very often. Name begins with a P, and she, I'm sure, will give you an email because she's a very nice person.
I appreciate
who
that.
Who supports the show, and I appreciate that too.
I guess what I'm questioning is what you draw into your life. Usually I draw a lot of I've figured it out. I draw a lot of positive people in my life. I have a lot of great friends, a great family. But every once in a while, you bring, some people sneak in there, and like you don't see it, you know?
No.
And I question like evil. And how fucked up people are, because I know my background, and I've dealt with my own shit, but like you get better as a result of it. You know, parents being divorced at a young age, that kind of stuff, family squabbles, that kind of bullshit. But that's stuff you can work on, you know?
Right.
And then some people, sometimes I guess I'm surprised at, I don't know, I really now realize that people are really screwed up out there, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not really screwed up in that case. Like, I know people that are really fucked, and I'm not that kind of guy, you know? Like, I've dealt with my problems, so it's just like, it's all relative, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
About people's problems, you know?
But see, here's I think, what's interesting about your situation. And again, I don't know the details. I just know a little bit of what you told me, but this evil that's come into your life, here's... another way of looking at it. With whatever the outcome will be, you know you'll be fine. I almost feel bad that this evil person has to live with their evil self. You know? It's like, whatever's going to happen, you're going to be fine. They're just going to be even more evil and more fucked up.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's also a way you can...
Well, that's like having empathy for somebody, having compassion for another person. But it's just like, at some point, you don't... If they're affecting you, how much compassion can you have?
You can't have much now in the heat of the battle, you know? But I think when it's all said and done and the dust settles, you're going to walk away, again, fine and with this behind you. And this person is just going to wallow in this evil shit that they've created for themselves.
Right now, people are like, what's going on? What is
he
talking about?
What is the mystery that they're talking about?
Well, I've just learned that there's bad people out there. And I was naive to it, I think. A little bit before.
Well, then maybe that's your lesson coming out of this is, you know, you can't wear your heart on your sleeve as much.
No, you can't. And I think that's also why celebrities are very standoffish.
Yeah.
You know, but I've always been open to like doing shows and the meeting the people and hanging out with them, having a couple drinks. You know, I've been in random places all over the world and gone with people, you know, in South Africa and Australia and Japan. But I've always felt my instincts were good, you know?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, like, I've misread people. I've had, I had to get a restraining order against a girl years ago. If I knew at the time she was going to be like that, obviously I wouldn't have done anything, you know?
Did you date her first?
No. No, it was the road. Girl I met on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there was people that I brought into my life, like comics that I knew. Like, perfect example, this is many years ago, when 2001, I was on Star Search. Long story short, I was supposed to be on the first episode. I was told it was going to be on the first episode. Then they took me off of it. And this is before I knew really how the entertainment business worked. And I was so disappointed and pissed off because I told everybody that I sent out this mass email to a bunch of comics and people just saying, I was supposed to be on the episode. No, I'm not. CBS sucks. CBS means can't believe shit. Just something like that. And then I found out from one of the producers that at least 10 comics that I considered not great friends, but friends, wrote to this producer saying, oh, Flip sent out this email. If he doesn't want to do it, I'll do it. And right. That's when I kind of first learned that you can't do that. You can't trust everyone. You can't assume that everyone's going to be on your side. You can't assume that everybody is going to do the right thing. You know? So these are all lessons. That's what life is turning out to be. It's just a series of lessons.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't want to learn so much. You know? I wish I was a little naive to it, you know? But I guess maybe that's the thing.
You can't keep your eyes shut to everything all the time.
No, you cannot.
It's life. You know, it's this journey, and this is whatever's happening is happening for a reason, and you can't see it now. Excuse me.
It's true, man. Sometimes you can't see the light from the darkness.
You can't see the forest for the trees.
But I guess the other thing is I've learned a little bit about anxiety and depression. You know, I've never really felt it before. Till the circumstance.
Are you taking anything for it?
No, what do you got?
Do you know what my wife does for a living? Have we ever talked about this?
Yeah, she works at a medical marijuana dispensary.
So I have some of that.
Oh, there's that.
That's all I have.
What about some happy pills?
I have Advil. Ibuprofen.
I get it, though, for people that are depressed. You know, it's like a black cloud that follows you around all day. It's just above you. The only time you get relief is when you go to sleep. The blackout's like, okay, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. And you wake up in the morning, blackout's, hey, my guy's up. Got to go. Rain, 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 rain.
Oh, it's a black cloud. Shouldn't it be, yo, man, I got to go. My boy's up.
Yo, yeah, dark cloud, black cloud.
Oh, dark cloud. Well, then that's
dark cloud, black cloud, whatever. You
now
get
it sounds
it.
Like an Indian.
I like that.
My man is
weak. My name is Black Cloud. Dark cloud. Hoo-ha. Ho.
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 Hi-ho. Hello, whore. What? That's totally different.
We just went. That was a weird series of tangents right there.
I know. But I don't know.
That's a bit you said, right, that you've been working on because of this?
Yeah. I mean,
so there's a good little positive. You're making bits out of it. That's at least,
some stuff
that's
is not funny about it right yet, so I haven't seen the humor in it, you know? I guess the point is when you put yourself out there, you're going to get... You know, you're going to get people that like you and get people that hate you, you know?
Not everyone can like you.
No.
As a comic, you know
for
that.
For sure that. I know that. I just more just like you got to be prepared to.
Well, no. Here's what shouldn't happen with you. You should, this situation, excuse me, should not turn you off to trusting people. That's the thing. If that's what's happening right now, that's not good. Because you need people that you can trust. You just have to be, I guess, more careful about who you bring in. That makes sense.
Yeah, well, it's almost being, you know, confirming with your good friends already that they got your back and your family and friends, you know, really, really close people in your life. But, you know, I'm not so eager to make new friends, you know, or But you got to sometimes, especially when you're on the road by yourself, too. You know, you got to know who to trust. Like,
well, usually work with other comics, right?
Yeah, but sometimes you're meeting them for the first time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it was a random gig in Kansas for a few days, and I've like met these people. I was like staying with them, and then I had a feature I've never met. I'm just like on the road by myself, and it's like.
But you were staying with people in Kansas?
Yeah.
They didn't put you up in a hotel?
Just this one gig, he didn't put me up in a hotel.
He stayed in his house?
Yeah. But they had a nice house.
Oh, that's creepy.
It was weird.
I don't like that when club owners, especially one-nighters, they think, oh, this would be nice. You stay with us. You'll meet the missus and like.
Well, added it to my tour, so it wasn't supposed to be. So he was kind of like doing me a favor and trying to make the gig happen. But it was just, it wasn't bad. It was an interesting place.
All right.
But, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah, I don't particularly like those kind of gigs.
No.
Like, I think I've had to do that once or twice, and it's awkward. It's like staying in somebody else's space that you don't know.
Yeah.
That's why I like hotels, or at least a condo or something, a very nondescript place with nobody's home touches in there. All right, let's switch gears.
Switch gears. Hey, now we're happy. We're jolly.
Let's just take this year. This year, what would you say is the best gig you've had?
Japan, entertaining the Marines.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that?
I did it in March.
Where'd you go?
I went to Okinawa. Had five shows on the island there. The base is there. And what's it called? Nagarita? Or it was near
Nagasaki.
Hiroshima.
Nagasaki?
I can't remember the city. It was near we flew to Hiroshima, and there was one on the outside.
Did you bomb?
but they loved it. They were really great.
Military's great.
Yeah, they were really cool, and I could do whatever I want. I hear someone told me recently that they went on a military tour where you had to be clean, and they're really
that was me.
Cracking. Was it you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You told me.
I did tell you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I didn't tell you that story. What happened?
Did you tell me what happened that made it clean?
Yeah.
No.
I think we've talked about this on the show before when I did some podcasts from our tour bus when we were in doing European military shows last month. Long story short, Mitch Fittell was doing shows, a show in the UK for the military, and his act is pretty dirty.
Yeah.
But they were loving it, except for one general who was offended and wrote a letter to a military magazine, and the trickle-down of that was that they almost canceled comedy altogether. But apparently it's the number one requested form of entertainment, so they couldn't. But they sent out this rule that you can't be dirty. Can't talk about sex. Can't say fuck. Can't really go over the edge. Can't really talk about drinking too much. Touch on weed smoking, but not too much. It's got to be very middle of the road.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's no fun. That's not what they want either.
That's not what they... You're 100% right. That is not
so
what they want.
One, again, one guy, one schnarfer is like, no, you're not allowed to say that.
He was a schnarfer to the nth degree.
Write a letter.
And you know what? Fittell actually wrote a response, and you could read all about this. You can Google this. And one of the... he made a lot of good points, but one of the better ones was, so let me get this straight. You're over here protecting freedom of speech, and yet you're censoring me from saying what I'm supposed to say.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely true. And it's you're right, that general, if you don't know Adam's act, he specifies that a schnarfer is somebody who just has a sourpuss face about, they can't take a joke.
Yeah, they're waiting for something bad to happen just so they can complain about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what this guy pretty much did. And he fucked it up for everybody.
For everybody. And why did we let one bad apple spoil the whole bunch?
Because he's a bad apple who's got three or four stars on his shoulder.
Right. And that is true. Like, what are you protecting? You're protecting the right to say whatever you want and the ideals of America, you know, freedom.
Mm-hmm.
To do what you want.
And yet you're telling us we can't do what not only we want, but what other people want to hear us do.
Right.
Yeah. But on the flip side, it was a very good exercise.
On the Schultz side.
What's that? Yeah.
Hey, golly, oh golly, oh goodness.
It was a good exercise to be clean.
Yeah. So. I mean, I can do it. I've done it before. I just know that, like, that's why my dirty jokes are the end of my act, because I can't follow them with jokes.
I front load, or I end with more sexual stuff.
Yeah, I do a couple in the middle, like, at the beginning, and then I change gears and be like...
That's how an act has to be. It has to ebb and flow.
Yeah. Excuse and to give them a little taste of what I can do, and then go back to then capture their attention, and they're listening to you because now they liked all your dirty jokes.
You have to grab them, and then make
grab them by the balls.
When you were in Okinawa, did you go to any like the sexy places? I heard like they have the sex shows or the banana lady.
The banana lady. I think did I go? I don't know if I no I didn't go this trip. I might have gone years ago when I did it before. I don't think I've ever seen the banana lady, but I heard about her.
Yeah. Doug Stanhope talks about her in a couple CDs.
Yeah.
We actually, did you go, have you ever been to Amsterdam or anything like that?
No.
Did you ever been to a place with a red light district?
I've been to Amsterdam, not for comedy.
Oh, but so you have been to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
But that so was you like, went to the red light district?
That was like 15 years ago, after I graduated college.
And did you go to the red light district?
Yeah, of course.
Did you get anything at the red light district?
I did not.
Ah. I went to one on this tour, too. First time I'd ever been to one. It's so fucking weird. It literally is hot women in storefront windows looking sexy and just...
What street were... What city were... Or what country were you in that had a red light district?
Where was I?
Was it Amsterdam?
No. Wait, was it Amsterdam? I don't remember. Yes, I do. I don't want to say it on the air. Because I don't think we're... I'll tell you later.
Did you go to Amsterdam?
I've actually never been to Amsterdam. I thought I did. But no, I was in the Netherlands, but we were trying to go to Amsterdam, but we weren't able to.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been to a red light district. And it is strange, though, like, because you hear about it all the time, but you never, and when you finally see it, it's so literally what everybody says that you can't believe it. Like, just hot girls on display. And it's funny, too, because we realize the further, you go down the street, the uglier the women get. It's like at one point where the cab drops you off, that's like the epicenter of hot. And then mm-hmm. you go a little further down and like, oh, she's an end of the block.
So did you get a hand job from a stranger?
Oh, I didn't get anything. I'm married.
Good answer. Good answer. Very appropriate. He winked when he said that. Just kidding.
I had something in my eye.
Was it me?
I don't even know what that means, but that was funny. Have you ever been? You've never gotten like a professional, have you?
I can't answer that on the air.
Well, then that's a yes.
No, I have not.
I see. I don't know how to because I actually make a joke about this, but I think it's true. Like I've been with an escort once, but I didn't pay for her, so it was kind of like a really good first date.
How'd that happen?
Somebody else gave me the money.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, actually. Oh my God, I'm realizing. I've been with two. One where somebody gave me the money. The other where we just hit it off.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I have never had to. I feel like, I don't know. But then again...
Let me refresh, by the way. The girl that I gave the money to, somebody gave the money to her on my behalf, it would have happened anyway. That person was just being polite.
What do you mean? You would have paid for it?
No. Like, we were on the way to hooking up anyway. It's just my friend who was with me said, well, dude, she's a working girl. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay. And he goes, I'll give her some money. I'm like, do what you want to do. But I didn't remember how long
she was just hooking up for you to be nice. She liked you.
Hmm?
She actually liked you.
She saw me at a show. And, you know when they see you at the show, they're very impressed.
That does happen sometimes.
Time to time.
Got to be careful. That's what I've learned, meeting people at the shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They don't always have good intentions for you, Flipper.
I had the restraining order against that one girl. I know.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, man.
But that's why, people get hookers, per se. It's like you don't pay them for sex. You pay them to leave.
It's true.
Yeah, that's the whole point,
And I don't want to discriminate against our female audience. There are male hookers out there, too.
Yes, there are.
I think they're called muckers.
I've thought about being one.
Really?
Come on, yeah. A man whore. Or just to go and professionally date. Like, you get hired to be like somebody's...
Okay, let's do a scenario right now. Would you go gay, too, or just women?
I would just go women.
Okay, let's pretend I'm a woman. And I'm paying you to be my date. So, hi, thanks for doing this.
No problem.
So, how long have you been dating.
You're my first.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Want me to go down on you now?
Okay.
Well, how about you go up on me? Okay. Well, just pay me. I'll leave.
Okay.
that's horrible.
That's the conversation.
this got weird really quickly.
Very quickly. We still have an hour at the restaurant.
We haven't even ordered hors d'oeuvres.
We're still waiting to get seated.
You're at the front door of my house.
This is my mother.
This is my father.
I'm still talking to you
on
the phone.
I brought my guard dog.
Your guard dog?
Yeah.
That'd be great. You show up for a date with like a Rottweiler.
That's pretty good.
I think those are all very good ideas for you to have in your repertoire when you start becoming a man whore. You gotta have a man whore name. What's your hooker name?
I don't know. Rich Mon.
What are you, Jamaican now?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Rich Mon. Feeling airy.
You're gonna love my dreadlocks and bagels.
Dreadlocks and bagels. Good combination.
That would be a great name for like a Jamaican Jew. Dreadlocks and bagels.
We should, how about we open a store? We sell Jamaican beef patties and bagels.
I like it.
I love Jamaican beef patties.
Are we boring you out there? And now that we're talking about food, what's for dinner?
And
what's
we're back to food. Dinner? It's what's for dinner? Dinner?
What's for dinner?
Well, why don't we change the pace of the show? I think you know what it's time for, Adam.
Oh.
It's time for a little part of the show called...
In 10 words?
Yes, as soon as... And great, now my shit's not working. I thought I was going to be all smooth there. And here we go.
Adam Richmond, how are you?
Fuck you, Skippy.
Already? We're going to go to this
already?
We're going to
start with that?
You're going to go
I'm
right there.
I'm making you!
Right there. You're going to go right to the fuck me. You know, fuck you. That's what I got to say.
Welcome back, Skippy.
Don't do me to me.
No, you don't do me to me.
Don't do... What are you, Vic Tayback? What kind
what
of
you,
fucking
Vic
voice...
Vic Tayback? Who's Skippy now? When we're speaking, we say...
I think people know who Skippy is.
Yeah, who is this guy right here?
That's not a good me.
Ma'am. You're not just a pretty face. Did I say just? I meant, you're not a pretty face.
See, here's the thing. One, I would never write a joke that bad. Two, if I was, I would do more like this. You're the kind of girl I could bring home to my mother. Because my mother loves stray dogs. See? See?
I like it. Gets finally you made me laugh, Skippy. Finally, after all these years.
Hey, better late than I don't give a shit. All right, are you ready, Richmond?
Sure.
You know how this game works. I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
10 words you got to answer. Not 11, not 9, 10 words. You ready?
Yeah.
If you could shove a piece of fruit up your ass, what fruit would it be and why?
It would be strawberries. Because then my shit will be sweet.
Perfect.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
That was fantastic.
That was awesome, man. Skippy Green Show. Loved it.
As well you should.
So who's out there, people? Follow me on Twitter, at Adam Richmond. Hit me up on Facebook, Adam Richmond Comedy.
How do you spell your name so people know?
A-D-A-M-R-I-C-H-M-O-N-D.
There you go.
Or
definitely.
Go to my website, adamrichmondcomedy.com. If I haven't mentioned that before, it's a fun website.
You got any gigs coming up?
At Stand Up Scottsdale next fun. Week, on the 19th, 20th, 21. Maybe the 22nd,
Arizona.
Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm going away with the family. I got some gigs in January, and then we'll see from there. February's got some gigs. March, I got some gigs.
Good. Well, definitely go to Adam's site. Check that out. Also, look up his set on Carson Daly.
On NBC.com, you can find that.
There you
Carson
go.
Daly.
And if anybody's around, Adam's going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'll be in Tucson, Arizona this weekend with Allison the Friday and Saturday 13th and 14th, which is also Allison's birthday this Friday the 13th.
All right.
If you want to give her a give her an email with that. And my friends over in Sweden, I will be coming back in February of 2014, going to Stockholm and Gothenburg. All the dates will be up on my website very, very soon. There's a Facebook page with all the info. And any other shit, you can check out on my website, flipisfunny.com. Follow me on Twitter, at Flip Schultz.
Sweet.
Yes, and don't forget my CDs, including Skippy Green CDs, are available on iTunes. Adam, thank you again for hanging out, man. And remember, it's all going to be fine.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Positive energy.
What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner?
Love to be
talking about what's ever on their mind.
Thanks a lot.
Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.